Hello and welcome into TCU on SI. This is the 15th episode of the Gridiron Frogs. This is a different voice greeting you at the start. This is me, Nolan's wonderful co-host, JD Andrus. And we're joined again. This is just a duo podcast today, but we're joined again by Carson Wurzel. But I promise this isn't a baseball podcast, contrary to what you might think. This is football. Carson, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. I've got my sweet tea here, and as much as I would love to talk baseball, we have a game tomorrow to preview.
Yeah, a little Friday night game, TCU versus Houston.
Yeah.
Two programs who are kind of on opposite ends right now. Houston is rebuilding and in a steep rebuild. TCU is trying to find their rhythm still after getting a win against Kansas last week. Probably not too long of a podcast. We talk some Houston TCU matchup. We'll talk a little bit of around the Big 12 games this weekend. Side note, it's not a good weekend in Big 12 football. Not a lot of good matchups. And then there's a little surprise at the end that we'll talk about when we get to there, that I'm very excited for, and Carson has no idea is coming. But until we get to that point, TCU won last week. They now improved to 3-2 on the season against Kansas. Nolan and I did the recap on that this week, and TCU now has the Friday night game where every team in the Big 12 will rotate and have a Friday night game at some point. It's just kind of how they're extending and trying to reach out to their brand apparel more. Carson, first of all, before we get into it, how do you feel about Friday night games?
I'm kind of indifferent. I don't really hate them because I think it allows me to watch more football on Saturday, but it is kind of weird playing on a Friday, I think. And I think that kind of messes with the schedule, not just for us, but for, everybody around campus, to everybody around the city, because like last year, TCU had a Friday night game and nobody kind of really knew about it. And I think the stadium was at like 75% capacity, if that. Now, granted, wasn't against a great opponent. I don't remember who it was against, but I do remember the stadium being weirdly empty.
I pretty much feel the same. I think I lean more towards the negative side. I do love that TCU doesn't play on Saturdays, so like you said, we could be locked into college football.
Right.
I'm really excited for TCU's bye week because it's October 12th weekend, which is game after game after game is going to be really good on that slate. But I do think having a Friday night game kind of does suck being the home team because now you lose a chance for high school players to come out on an official visit and kind of see the stadium and the atmosphere on everything because they're also playing on that Friday night. So I feel like you kind of lose out more if you're the home team on a Friday night game than if you're the away team.
So you bring that up, but apparently Dykes confirmed that there would be multiple recruits at the game on Friday. So are those guys that only played on Thursday? Are those guys that are playing on
That or
Saturday?
yeah, they might be on bye. They might have a Thursday game or Saturday
I
game.
just, yeah, I mean, I just find it interesting that, we're picking
It
this
could
week.
be other players that aren't from Texas too, because a lot of different
True.
states play on different nights to Friday night,
Well,
weirdly enough.
I mean, a lot of 6A D1 schools actually play on Saturday. They'll play on Saturday like midday. And so I think that's probably where I would say most of the recruits are coming from. But yeah, like you said, there could be out of state guys that just are taking a weekend and probably taking an official visit this weekend anyway, so they might as well come out for the game.
One more thing too before we touch on it is Dana Holgorsen revenge game.
Yeah.
He is on the staff as an analyst and was previously let go by Houston going into this season. It was kind of a rough relationship. Dana Holgorsen wasn't the most attractive hire when it happened, but he had Houston football in a respectable place for where they were at as a program at the time. And if you're in Dana Holgorsen's shoes, how are you feeling going into a week like this where you're as an analyst, you're not really doing too much, but you are an analyst on the staff helping them out, and now you're going against your former team?
That's hard to say. I'm not sure I can put myself in Dana Holgorsen's shoes. I'm not sure I can fill that role, but I think I don't know. Their relationship or his relationship with Houston didn't seem all that strong. I know he commented and he was like, "No, I love the school and all that stuff when he spoke to the media at the beginning of the year, but it didn't seem like that school was all too attached to him. So to restate what I said earlier, I think I'm just kind of feeling indifferent, just ready to do my job. Like he said before.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I don't think Dana Holgorsen's one to hold too much hate for anyone, anyways.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think he's harboring like ill intention or anything like that. But I did see a tweet today, from like a it's like a Houston burner or something, and it was like, man, I don't care if we don't win the rest of the season. If we could win this game, it would mean everything or something.
Yeah, I feel like there's more ill will on the Houston side than there is the than on Dana Holgorsen's side.
Oh yeah, no, they're looking at this as like, hey, this is our like get back game.
Okay. Sorry, I messed up. One more thing before we finally go into it. And I guess it kind of does lead into it a little bit, is Sonny Dykes said this week during the press conference that Andy Avalos will be on the field full time now instead of up in the press box. He came down onto the field during the second half of the Kansas game, and we saw a pretty big change in the TCU defense during the second half. Now, I'm not saying that that exactly correlates. It's, it's a cause and effect kind of thing, but how do you feel about the move? A little indifferent. If it gets results, it gets results. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I love it. I love it. I have always been a big fan of coordinators being on the sideline because when you look at really great teams, I mean, most of the time, one of their coordinators is on the sideline, at least, because I think as a coach, you want to be around your players as much as possible, especially during the game. You want to get a beat on how they're feeling, how, like, if they're worn down or not, if they're itching to make a big play or something like that. I think it's all around a good thing.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, but I'm on the side that I believe the offensive coordinator should always be in the booth, especially nowadays in college football, where being able to talk to your quarterback, it's just kind of a little eye in the sky. You can kind of see what defenses are scheming, especially running a hurry-up offense. It just kind of allows you to help out a little bit more. And I feel like, offensive coordinator kind of needs that alone space. Defensive coordinators, I feel like, are often just stashed in the press box because I feel like most of them are pretty odd fellows. Like, you kind of got to be a special breed to be a defensive coordinator.
Well, I think you have to have a certain passion for what you're doing. I mean, that's how a lot of defensive coordinators are made. I think because of I think how polarizing being a defensive coordinator is. Like, I mean, it's obviously both offensive and defensive coordinators, hell, even special teams coordinator. I mean, you're gonna get trashed if you don't perform, but I think defensive coordinators can kind of let it roll off their back a little bit more. I feel like most defensive coordinators are just a little bit more thick-skinned, I would say.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't have a problem with Briles being down on the field, what he's been doing lately. So
Okay. Now let's kind of talk Houston and a little bit about what we just talked. I kind of talked about a little bit in the question, but do you think that the second half defense that we saw against Kansas is the defense that we will see for the Houston game, or do you think maybe it was just a like a one-off kind of thing, like they just adapted very well?
So, as for me, I have a big asterisk on this game because that second half defense, I feel, is how TCU should play against Houston. I think that I have an asterisk on the game because if TCU shuts Houston out, it's like, okay, that's what we were supposed to do. If TCU holds them under 10 points, I'm like, okay, that's a satisfactory defensive performance. And if they let up, like, let's say, like 20, then I'm kind of raising red flags, kind of like, okay, where did the defense from the Kansas game go? Right? Because, I mean, that was a complete flip from the Kansas game from the first half to the second half. I mean, that was just a different defense.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the other side of the fence where I don't really care what happens with the defense this game because I think that there's a legitimate chance that this game gets so out of touch that TCU just starts playing prevent
I mean, I
because
agree. I just think that TCU defensively is just better on on every front than Houston's offense, even if we're playing prevent.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Smith is second in the conference in sacks. He's been sacked 12 times this year, trailing only behind Shedeur Sanders. So Houston's offensive line hasn't been the greatest, and Houston's offense has only scored one touchdown within 10 yards this season. Every single other one has been 30 plus yards. They're just kind of been a one-off kind of play system, which kind of goes against what TCU is. Like, TCU is very much a bend, don't break kind of defense right now. And kind of having those explosive plays does scare me a little bit, because that's what TCU has been really bad about letting up lately. But I think if there is ever a week that you need the confidence win and you need your defense to have that either shutout game, which is really hard to do in college football today, or, you know, really, really tough game, then I think this is the week, because you got a bye week next week and then you're straight in Utah. So
Oh, yeah.
this is such a big confidence game for that side of the ball. And you're gonna say something? Go ahead.
I mean, I was just going to kind of agree with what you were saying. I think the, like, I mean, again, like you were saying, you go into the bye week only letting up, let's say they shut out Houston. You go into the bye week only letting up 10 points in your last six quarters. You're looking at that bye week totally different than, let's say, if you were giving up 25 points every game, you know, like against UCF, like against SMU. I say 25, but it's more like 40. But yeah, I think you have a different outlook on the Utah game and also on the rest of your season.
Yeah, and I think one thing too is that this Houston defense is, or Houston team as a whole, is kind of being oversold slightly on just how bad they are. Like, I think they're a lot worse than what people think they are, because they're 1-3. They've lost to UNLV, Cincinnati, and Iowa State, which are all teams that they should have lost to, especially now that we know who UNLV is,
Right.
more of so their identity. And they beat Rice 33-7, which you should beat Rice. But a lot of people thought that maybe that they weren't as bad as they were, because they played an Oklahoma team close and lost 16-12. I think we're kind of understanding that Oklahoma has no offense. And
Yeah.
don't get me wrong, Oklahoma has a really good defense, but putting up 12 against them,
Yeah.
it's not. I just think that the Houston team is worse than what people think. But you know, we've seen TCU kind of struggle under Dykes to play to close out games that they should against bad opponents.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of going to be like this game doesn't really, it doesn't give me trap game vibes at all. I'll regret saying that. If, you know, if the unfortunate happens,
I will clip it.
but go ahead. But I am just looking at this game. If I'm Dykes, I'm looking at this game as kind of a get ready game. Like say we go up a few scores in the first half. Okay, second string guys, let's see what you got. I think I put them in at the beginning of the third quarter if it gets out of hand early.
I don't think I would, simply because you are on bye next week.
Just make
Like,
sure that they're
yeah,
still ready.
you got to be
Yeah,
able
I
to
mean,
play a complete game. And TCU's been in a lot of games that they've played complete games, UCF,
oh.
Kansas, but.
No, that actually, I actually like the point you just made, because yeah, I mean, TCU, like you said, they've struggled to close out games.
Yeah.
Okay, you might have just changed my mind about that,
Yeah,
honestly.
I
I don't
think
hate that.
the only thing I would say is maybe take out like Josh Hoover, just to kind
Yeah.
of
Well, I mean, just the guys that you know are gonna perform week in and week out, I think you can take out the guys that have question marks. I think give them some more reps so that they feel at least better
yeah.
about going into the bye.
I do want to come on and say something really quick, because I need to get ahead of it. I did say that Donovan Smith was a top five quarterback in the conference preseason. I said he's very, very good, and I'd like to apologize for that take. He's currently last in the conference with passing yards, 681 yards, second in the conference in sacks. He's tied for fourth with interceptions at five. He's 70 for 107, 65% completion percentage. 65%. I mean, it's better than the BYU quarterback. Anyways, yeah, I think he just hasn't been himself. Same, you know, it's the same with the Jalen Daniels story. He is the worst quarterback among qualified QBs in the Big 12 right now. He is 16 out of 16. The only quarterback who is worse than him right now who has thrown over double-digit passes is Cameron Rising and Daquan Finn, and they just have barely played at all. So they don't even qualify for yards.
Cameron
So,
Rising doesn't exist. Stop saying that name. He's gone.
I
He's
told
gone.
Nolan that on the podcast on
He's
Monday
gone.
that he
He's
doesn't
gone.
exist. I did see a meme today that was really hilarious that said he was a questionable play for their bye week this week.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That's fair.
Like, how does an injury like that take this long? I don't get it.
Fun fact is Donovan Smith does least passing yards in the conference, but doesn't have the least attempts in the conference. That belongs to KJ Jefferson, by the way. He's only thrown the ball 86 times.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I do think Donovan Smith always is a threat. Like, I do want to say that. Like, I still think he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, with the big plays that they have, it seems like he's a threat downfield, but then he's also a dual threat in the backfield.
Yeah.
You know?
TCU does not like rushing quarterbacks at all.
No, we don't.
You're looking at, you know, let's just compare some Houston TCU stats real quick. Houston is only scoring on average 10.4 points per game. They're allowing 20.8, literally getting outscored 2-1. And TCU's offense is good enough that they should be able to put up at least 35 plus. Majority of their first downs do come from rushing the ball, 34 to 31. They only have six penalties on the season, so they're a pretty disciplined team. TCU has struggled in that. But they average 3.9 yards per rushing attempt. So will be interesting to see if that TCU defense could kind of keep up with it. But yeah, anything else you want to add in this, Carson? Because I really don't think there's much to talk about with Houston.
Well, I'm currently looking at their stat sheet on their website, and I was looking at the passing comparisons kind of. And they really haven't faced a team with three solid receivers yet. Dude, they give up 147 passing yards alone to teams that really don't have receivers. TCU should throw for 300. Like, I mean, I would love to see the run game take a big step forward, but passing wise, TCU was years better than Houston.
Yeah,
Especially with the season that Hoover and Besh are having right now.
speaking of that, let's go ahead and go into some rapid fire questions and
All
we'll kind
right.
of expand on it if we need to. Is all right, who has more rushing attempts this weekend? Jeremy Payne or Cam Cook?
Jeremy Payne.
And how
I
many?
think. Oh, by how many? Ooh. Two.
Two. Okay.
Two. I think it's still a little bit more split than people think. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's just closer.
I said it should be a 50-50 split. I don't think Jeremy
Yeah.
Payne is ready to be that veteran guy, just because he is a true freshman. And I think Cam Cook has kind of been on the short end of the stick.
Right.
That he still has been serviceable enough, just hasn't been what people wanted him
Well,
to be.
I mean, in the red zone, he's been great. He's been really, really good in the red zone. And going into the season, I think just watching some of the plays that they ran on the goal line, I think that was kind of the intention for him. But I think they still wanted like to him for him to be an every down back. Which I mean, I'm not saying that hasn't panned out. Just because I think that offensive line is still finding their rhythm, and it seems like they're getting a little bit better every week. But yeah, I do think that goal line, he's the guy to go to right now, especially on that 1, 2, 3 yard line.
Yeah, I do think we're seeing 50-50 split this weekend. I am excited to see Jeremy Payne get more carries. All right, next question. Who leads the team in receiving yards this week?
Jack Besh.
I'm going JPR.
JPR?
I
Okay.
feel like you're going to see teams slightly focus Jack Besh a lot more. And when you have a three-headed monster, one of them has to be free. Teams still can't free up Savion Williams, so they're gonna focus him and Jack Besh, and that leaves JPR to do his thing.
Dude, and you've got Eric McAllister if you want.
And you have still have
Dude.
Drake Dabney.
Dude, McAllister's disgusting. He's gross on the field, dude.
Yeah.
I love watching him catch footballs.
All right, next question. What is the final score of the game?
Is this a bait to get me to tell you what I sent to Barry?
No. We do this every episode.
Okay.
What is your score prediction?
Okay. Man, I forgot what I sent. I said 48-7 TCU.
48-7 TCU. I like it. I
Yeah.
don't hate it. Let me find my text thread with Barry so I can go back and make sure I give you the right. We were talking a lot about some stuff that you and I will discuss here in a little bit. Let's see. Where I said TCU 48, Houston 17.
Really?
Yeah.
17?
I mean, if I'm gonna have TCU at 48, you're assuming the score is gonna be like 48 to 10. And a garbage time touchdown always happens.
Right.
So
Yeah, I could see mine turning into 48-14, 48-17 like yours. It could.
yeah, I
I think it just depends on if Avalos has his defense just pin their ears back and go after the quarterback late in the game, or if they, play prevent like you said.
Yeah, I do think Houston gets a little bit more than what people think they do.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Anything else you want to add to this Houston TCU matchup before we move on officially? We call it quits.
Not really. I think I'm good.
All right. Let's move on. Talk a little about the other Big 12 games of the weekend going on. West Virginia at Oklahoma State. Excite you at all? Anything?
Not really. With how both of those teams have looked so far this season, I expect Oklahoma State to take care of business barely because it's in Stillwater. If it was in West Virginia, I would have them by 10.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a defining game for both teams. West Virginia
Yeah.
still is kind of the unknown of how good they're actually going to be. And Oklahoma State is currently reeling is 0-2 in the conference. So whichever team loses in this, I think you kind of put a nail in them being in Arlington. So I think it's
Yeah.
got a lot more implications of what it looks like at face value. Next game, Baylor at Iowa State. Carson, does Dave Aranda make it out of the weekend? I wish I was kidding,
No.
and
No.
I will
No.
explain why.
No, 'cause they're not winning this game. No,
Yeah.
I fully expect Iowa State to dominate that game so very hard.
Okay, and then Nolan and I were talking. Does Dave Aranda get fired?
So, I think he does because last week was Dave Aranda's birthday. Happy birthday, Dave Aranda.
Yeah.
Gotta clap it up for you.
Can't get fired on your birthday.
Well, I love it when he talks to media. It's awesome. It's great. But no, I don't think he makes it out of the weekend. I think even if Baylor wins a few more games this season, I just think Waco's tired of him because they can't fill their stadium. They can't do it. It doesn't matter who's coming. They can't do it.
Nolan and I also talked about the fact that it's also going into Baylor's bye week next week. Baylor and TCU have the same bye week, by the way. That's funny. Yeah, Baylor's going into bye week. I mean, anytime a coach gets fired, more than 70% of the time it is going into a team's bye week so they can get adjusted
Yeah.
to a new coach. So, yeah, I do think he doesn't make it past the weekend unless somehow he wins this game. All right. Other than that, you know what? I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna save it for the next part. So I don't want to get into it right now. UCF at Florida.
UCF because they can run the ball more than 4 yards a play.
Shockingly enough, I'm going with Florida here.
Yeah, you think what did they call their stadium? It's not
The swamp.
Is it the swamp? Okay. I was thinking the jungle for some reason.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is because typically whenever a Gus Malzahn-led team loses a game that mid-season, kind of spirals from there. They never really regain. So
True.
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
After that, Kansas at Arizona State.
Kansas is broken, so Arizona State, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I still don't know if Arizona State's good or not. Like, I still think that they're not good.
I think Arizona State, which I love following these teams. I think Arizona State is a momentum team. I love following momentum teams where if they start fast, they normally win the game. Texas Tech game, they didn't start fast and they ended up losing that game by 8 points. All of their wins, they've started pretty quick, I believe.
Yeah.
But
Speaking
that
of, go ahead.
I just like following the like momentum teams.
Speaking of momentum, Texas Tech and Arizona, a score that could end up looking like a basketball game score, and I
Yeah.
think will. The over under for this game is actually set at the same over under for the West Virginia Oklahoma State game, which is very interesting to me.
What, wait, who's favored? I have my
Arizona
own.
is favored by a touchdown.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's fitting since it's in Arizona. I mean, I think if it was at Texas Tech, it would sway the other way.
Give me Texas Tech.
But I was gonna say I mean, Texas Tech has just looked better as a team as a whole recently. I will probably go Texas Tech as well.
You know, it's
Just
so
because
funny you say that. Because I let's go ahead and get to the part I want to talk about. So Barry, our lovely editor, does a weekly rankings and he gets anonymous votes from people. And our rankings have came out today. I've taken a look at them. Barry even texted me and said, "Hey, the article's published. Make sure you take a deep breath before you go into it." Because there's a new number one, according to the people that vote on this. And it's Iowa State, followed by, or not followed by Arizona, but Arizona got two first place votes. One of the first place votes came from the guy that's on the show right now. And so I'd like to talk to you, Carson, and I know you try to justify it by saying you made it really quickly. Why and God's green earth, would Arizona ever be the number one team in the conference? Is it because they beat Utah?
Yeah.
Cam Rising wasn't playing.
Cam Rising doesn't exist.
He does
He
exist and he's
doesn't. He
healing
doesn't.
up.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't exist. He doesn't. I'm sorry. That's
They
the
didn't
Utah
rush him
team.
back because they know that after Kansas State lost and after Oklahoma State lost, that there was no reason to rush him back because now you can afford a loss and still be in Arlington.
No, I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
No, don't believe you.
Look.
No, I okay. For viewers, I made this list pretty quick, but I looked at like last week's results and I saw that they beat number 10 Utah, and I still think without Cam Rising, I think that going in and beating number 10 team in their house in a night game, I still think that's impressive. I still think that that is a worthy win.
It's like beating a guy in a wheelchair in basketball after you take away his wheelchair. That's what it's be like beating a Utah team that doesn't have Cam Rising.
Arizona by 10 versus Texas Tech. Final answer.
Arizona by I don't know what. But okay, now let me ask you. Do you understand the Iowa State reasoning of why people have been voting them number
Oh
one?
no, that one I don't get.
Because hold up, and let me see if I can find the text. Because Barry told me how many votes they won first place by.
I put them number four, I believe. Yeah, I put them number four. I know
Yes,
that.
Iowa State is number one. Doesn't say by how many votes. I just want to know why. I don't think Iowa State is very good. Like they're good, but I don't think they're better than Kansas State or Utah.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
think
even think
both
they're
of
better
those
than
teams.
Arizona. Like,
Yeah, because Iowa State at least has a pretty darn good defense, you know? But again, I don't think it's enough to put them number one. Yeah, I know I'm with you on that one. We need to have a talk with some people.
yeah. So if you're listening to this and you put Iowa State as your number one team, or maybe you're even the other anonymous person who put Arizona number one, please slide in my DMs at me on Twitter, X, sorry, whatever it's called. Let's have a discussion because it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up. There's two teams who should be number one. It should either be Utah or it should be Kansas State.
Or
And
it
I
should be
think there's kind
Arizona.
of Arizona is hilarious.
Or it should be
I think you
Arizona.
might need to go to the doctor.
I went last
Notice
year.
how through all of this, though, you didn't say BYU because BYU are frauds.
Dude, this
They're
guy's
not good.
so mad that BYU's undefeated. Oh my gosh.
They're a fraudulent, undefeated team.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
You're telling
Sure.
me a neutral field, you're picking BYU over Arizona?
Over Arizona?
Yeah. Are you picking BYU over TCU on a neutral field?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Why?
Yes. BYU's looked better.
They haven't.
They've just looked better.
They played a
Sorry.
really bad Baylor team
Could
who
have won the
almost came
game.
back and beat them. They played an SMU team who at the time didn't know what football was. This is BYU is are frauds. They have no offense.
This guy's so mad that Jake Retzlaff is so good at
He's
football.
not
Oh my
good. He's
gosh.
not good. Ah.
Please, so Jake Retzlaff, please come on the podcast. We gotta have you. We got we dude.
Sorry, I only take top six quarterbacks in the conference. He's out. Yeah, other than that, I would understand putting Colorado as number one over Arizona.
Colorado, if they play like they did against UCF the rest of the season, they will be in Arlington
It's disgusting.
for the championship.
I
They
hate
will
that.
be.
I'd rather
I
see
you know
BYU in Arlington.
no you wouldn't. That's a lie and you know
At
it.
BYU versus
You don't
Colorado, Big 12 championship
wait, that'd be
would
fire.
kill me.
That'd be fire. That's actually the best possible outcome now. Because Jake
No.
Retzlaff is gonna throw for 450 yards
Stop.
against Colorado.
Stop.
Five
Stop.
touchdowns, and they're gonna win the Big 12 championship.
Stop. No.
I'm gonna buy you a Jake Retzlaff jersey.
Please don't. I mean, it'd be great for my fire pit, but that's about it. Other than that, yeah. God, you've angered me enough. I lost my train of thought. You know what?
Oh,
anything
damn.
else you want to add,
That's it.
Carson?
Guys, that's how you know I really got to JD. Oh my gosh.
I've lost my train of thought
Oh no.
completely. Yeah, talked a little about Houston TCU game is tomorrow at 6:30 on ESPN. You'll be able to find it there. It is from now until middle of November. There's football on your TV every single day.
Yeah.
So go on, enjoy that. TCU's the Friday night game this week. They do have the bye week next week, but yeah, Carson, anything else you want to add?
Not really. Take care of business this weekend and then start getting ready for Utah.
Yeah,
That's all I
especially
got.
because you could be playing a Utah team that might get Cam Rising back that week. So a lot to
No.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on Monday for the recap episode of this weekend's game. Thanks, guys.